angry.
Yes.
But it's not, this is not, be okay.
Quiet.
But
everybody,
be quiet.
That's what is wrong with you.
I'm trying to act, but
you're not.
Stop it! I have never in my life yelled at a girl like this. When my mother yells at this, it's because she loves me. I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you? Learn something from this. You go to bed at night, you lay there, and you take responsibility for yourself. Because nobody's going to take responsibility for you. Take responsibility for yourself.
Undisciplined, unprepared, and unquestionably in turmoil right now.
Is it the quarterback or the head coach that's lost control of this team? Find out right here, right now, on the NYJ Couch Scouts podcast.
NYJ. Couch Scouts. I'm your host, Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five dead or alive.
NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
All control of the New York Jets 2016 season has been lost.
Completely.
You're 100% correct. And I think they both share in the blame. Welcome, everybody, to the NYJ Couch Scouts podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jet fans?
Who do you put it on?
Personally, I'm putting it on the quarterback. I think that's our biggest issue, is the quarterback. He's not a leader right now. He's not showing us that he's a leader. He's not performing like the quarterback of the New York Jets, or like he even closely performed last year.
He's not performing like his age. And his resume should be speaking on terms of experience right now.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable that we had this whole conflict before the season. He is now the quarterback of the Jets, and we can't get rid of
him. Before the season, during the season, yesterday, last week, this is all we talk about.
It's unbelievable.
But how do you not?
How do you not? Exactly. He's the leader of the team. How could you not?
We're trying to set a little plan for the show, and it's like we're not going quarterback. We're not gonna. And this is where we are. It's historically that is not being dramatic. Historically bad quarterback play right now.
But I think that stems to every other problem that we have on the team, is the bad leadership coming from the quarterback position. He's the one who's supposed to set the tone, and he has yet to set a good tone for us. He has 12 or 13 interceptions, the most in the league. It's unbelievable.
Just a virus eating away.
Yes, that's exactly
when you were describing.
You know
that.
When the defense comes out there, why should we play well when the quarterback can't get the ball to one of the best receivers that we saw last year, one of the best receivers in Jets football history? I don't understand how it's so hard at this point. Last year he looked so good, so accurate. Now it is he has a problem throwing it to open receivers. It's unbelievable.
That is why I will not attack Chan Gailey, and we're going to get there. I am watching, and if I want to make my comment sound better, undrafted free agents run wide open in the middle of the field, deep. Everyone was open on the long ball that should be another 7 points. You know the season Robbie Anderson would be having right now with a competent quarterback?
And what I want to say about that is that on any other team, we watch other teams like, why can't we get a young receiver like that? Why
We have them. You're right. You're right.
We just cannot get them the ball because the quarterback sucks, man.
The season Robbie Anderson would be posting right now. He'd be the FedEx Air nominee of the week, and you may be talking about him offensive rookie of the year. Oh, I'm hyping it. I know. You don't got to give me the look, but if they just connected. We said a lot of the same things for Devin Smith last year, too. Smith was running wide open. We couldn't get him the rock.
We have, what, 5 young receivers on this team. Let me include Devin Smith. He hasn't played this year, though, but he's
Please, Devin Smith.
We got Peak. We got Anderson, and we got Marshall. All those guys seem to have lots of talent, and we can't get these guys the ball. On any other team, I'm pretty sure they would be successful.
You can't say any other. We got a team coming in this week that's having the same struggles as us and kind of doing the same thing as us, except they took their quarterback number one overall. But again, we'll get there too. It's things with this position and this guy right now that I just don't. How do you use that timeout? How do you, your biggest pet peeve of the season, they were fighting the play clock all game on Sunday. But how do you use the timeout he used in the fourth quarter of that game? And look how it came back to bite us. Not that we were even remotely stopping Jay Ajayi at that point in the game. But look how it came back to bite us. These are mistakes that you're avoiding playing a Bryce Petty, avoiding playing a Christian Hackenberg because of. These are the type of missed reads that we see. How many people got to be open when he decides, I hope he was throwing that out of the back of the end zone and just didn't have the arm strength, because I believe that. How many people got to be open, though?
No, it's unbelievable. My thing is even in the first quarter, okay, he throws the lateral back to Bilal Powell, and wow, we get a couple successful plays. But my thing about that is we're trying to win games here. We've been unlucky all season. Why put the chance of throwing the ball backwards, a possible fumble? We're not in the backyard. Great. We're not in the backyard, man. We're trying to win games. Keep the yardage. Get down on the ground. Get back to the huddle. Get the next playoff. Why are you trying to add a couple more yards that might turn horrific? It's unbelievable that's how he plays. It's unbelievable that he holds the ball in his hand like it's a baseball and it's a one-handed kind of ball when he's running down the field with his head cut off. It's unbelievable. It makes me so frustrated that this is the leader of our team and he decides that he can lateral passes when he's running the ball and he can't slide for his life.
Yeah, I was going to try to pivot there at some point when you went baseball. I don't know why it's just so awkward for these guys to be able to get down.
These
quarterbacks.
I'm talking about Fitz.
No, but I'm talking half the league. Half the league can't slide in the second. I don't understand why. I don't get it. But maybe it's been a while since I did it, but I'm pretty sure I round that bag at first. I'm going in hot, baby. I don't understand why they can't do it. These guys grow up as athletes, but where I wanted to go with it, when that's not Fitz magic. When everybody, oh, the Fitz magic, that's not it. That is bad football, bad decision making, and you're supposed to be the guy. We talked about the facade of game manager in comparison to what he really is, but you're supposed to be the steadying force on an offense.
That's a great word right there, steadying force. That's great, because really, what is he thinking? Is he thinking, oh, I need a couple more yards, or we need to get... What is he thinking there?
The first down was had. I hear you. It's funny, because I want to be yelling. I want to be screaming. I just don't have it. I got to bring it up, because it's bad, bad, bad football that I'm seeing. But I just... It's the same thing week in and week out, but we're going to keep taking a podium postgame and announcing him as our starting quarterback the following week because he gives us the best chance to win.
Oh, and he's playing so pissed off. You know, all these guys are not behind him. He's playing so pissed off, makes him play better. Yeah, right. That was a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of crap for him to say that he plays better because his coaches and his owners are not behind him. We're not behind you because you stink, man. We're not behind you because you can't get an open receiver the ball.
Where do we go from here? Where do you go Sunday? And, I mean, I'm pretty sure we can tell where you go Sunday. But where do we go Sunday? Where do we go into the bye, the rest of the season? Petty, Hack, what's your stance right now?
For me, it has been, if he loses us a game, you put Petty in. And that's what happened this week. He threw an interception in the fourth quarter in the red zone. That is, for me, that's when you get benched there, especially when you've been on the cuff all season. You get benched there, and we've talked about it. We don't want Petty.
He did exactly what you're saying, and knock us out of the playoffs last year, and they anointed him the starter.
It's unbelievable.
45 minutes
and
later.
And just like we said the last couple weeks, we don't want Petty to have his first big start against the Patriots. At home against the Patriots. We don't want that. We don't want him to be embarrassed on his home field.
No, it's not fear of being embarrassed. It's just setting your guy up for success.
For the greatest coach in NFL history to go against the greatest coach, your young first start goes against the greatest coach. Unbelievable. He should start against the LA Rams at home, get comfortable, go into the bye, and then into the New England game. That's how it should be. That sounds like a good plan. It doesn't sound like a good plan when you have an old guy that we're not even going to have on this team next year starting against the LA Rams
Don't
for no reason.
With the New York Jets. So that may sound like a well-thought-out, laid plan, but we're still the same old Jets. And cop out or not, you don't want to hear it or not, I don't know what to tell you. This is the same track on the same album I've been listening to since Woody Johnson bought the team. You want to go a couple years before that, so be it. But those Parcells years are the golden years for me, so I won't. It's the same song over and over again right now.
I don't know if you want to get into this, but I'm just going to bring this question up. Do we blame Woody for anything?
Absolutely.
Any of this? Do we blame Woody?
We don't know how much blood is on his hands, so you don't know how validated you are in yelling that from the rooftops or bringing it up here on the couch.
He makes me want to compare him to Dolan so much as a Knick fan. Makes me want me to compare him to that so badly, because he loves the New York media. He loves being out there. He loves being flamboyant and showing his face. Just, you know, Woody, just sit in that box, man, and let your hires do the work.
Well, I hope that's what's going on, but some are now calling into question if his hires are the right men to do the work. Where I'm going to bring that is kind of what I just threw to you a moment ago. Where do we go from here? You're saying Petty. For me, I agree. Go, Petty. It's what are we playing for? And I've said it time and time again. I think we have to be mathematically eliminated. And then I think Bowles will stubbornly hold on an even additional week. But I just hope that I'm just spewing nonsense when I say that. I don't think I am. I go Petty now. Same way you said, get his feet wet. You're throwing him out there against a good defense as it is. Then you got the bye. Digest the film. See what you did well. See what you can grow from.
Exactly.
And then take the ultimate test of, you know what? If you're going to take this job by the balls, this is who you're going to have to beat anyway.
If anybody thinks about life with common sense, that's the common sense to look at it. You cannot keep putting why are we putting Fitzpatrick in there? The only reason we got him here is because we had such a good season last year, we tried to make another playoff run. It doesn't look like that anymore. The season has turned around. Why do we still have him starting at the quarterback positions? Unbelievable. Common sense would say, put in the young guy.
If healthy, it gives us the best chance to win.
That's not the point at this point. It's not the point, in my opinion.
Coach's decision.
Unbelievable.
This is what you hear. With that monotone, coach's decision. And you know why I'm bringing up that quote.
I get he wants...
We digress real quick. Bring it back. Where I was pivoting, is Chan Gailey the guy to develop a Petty for the rest of the year and see what you have, or a Petty / Hackenberg audition to finish out this season? Is Gailey the man you want to grow with long term with these kids?
For Petty, definitely. Definitely. But to make the decision at the end of the season if we need to keep Chan Gailey or not, I don't really know that yet. And because that's the future of Hackenberg.
Perfect answer.
Because I really think for Petty has only known Chan. Really? So why not put Petty out there now? Hackenberg, you know what? We might have to chalk up this season with an offensive coordinator and change the offensive coordinator next year. I don't want to get into that. I can't get into firing Chan.
Wasted growth.
I'm not going to get into firing coaches at this point.
And you also don't know if, in theory, Bowles is here. So if Bowles isn't here, maybe Chan's out the door with him regardless.
Which, if you want to, that's unbelievable, ridiculous. If, you know, I just talked about Woody. If Woody decides to fire Bowles, it's unbelievable. There's no reason why Bowles needs to get fired. You have to live through the bad seasons. Yes, it's hard to talk about it. We have to live through the bad seasons. And if you keep firing head coaches and starting over, it's not going to work. We're always going to be in this position.
You become the Cleveland Browns. We've said it a few times now.
And you know what? As bad as the Bengals don't win playoff games, I'd rather be the Bengals.
You talking about the Browns?
Oh, I'm talking about Marvin Lewis being there for so long and not really winning.
Confused me there. I got to tie in Brandon Marshall's comments, though, for where you brought it. I was trying to really hit home offensively with Gailey and growing, but to me, Brandon Marshall's comments were a little cryptic post-game.
I got the opposite side of that. Go ahead. Go say what you have to say.
I kind of felt it was no mistake, the continuous praise of Adam Gase. That was my receiver coach. The job he's doing out there, it's, to me, the words used of they're no longer front runners. The way he's got them playing, the way those boys rally together. There were a lot of underlying things to be taken out of his words, if you ask me.
To me, I know that you I know. I think you're pointing to the fact that he was taking shots at his team, at his teammates, his coaches a little bit as he could. To me,
cleanly, cleanly. Well,
and that's actually a good thing in my opinion. If that's what really happened, to me, it looked like Brandon had really nothing else to say. He is now a media guy. Before this, before him becoming a media guy, he was the guy that flipped out and would talk crap about his teammates.
19 seconds to answer his first question. That's how much growth he's had. And I don't mean that to sound silly, but he took 19 seconds to compose himself and then come out the way
he did. And that shows a different man right there. And I like that. I do like that.
I
think that he really had nothing else to say, and he really didn't want to continue to hate on himself and his teammates like he ended up doing anyway by saying that him and Fitz are the leaders on this team and they're the ones to blame. And I know he didn't want to attack anybody else. And I think the only way that he could have finished that interview successfully was giving credit to the opposite team.
Okay, here's my thing with Brandon Marshall on a bigger spectrum, though. And it's for where we're playing off of Bowles being the guy to take this team where we need to go and Gailey being the guy to develop a young quarterback and grow personally with him. Is Brandon Marshall a guy that you need in a Bryce Petty's ear, in a Christian Hackenberg's ear? Because you saw what went on Sunday. The only reason that wasn't a bigger story and brought up in much, much brighter light was because of the relationship that Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall have and because of the reception he got from Fitz. Fitz took it. Fitz took it on the chin, nodded, made it try to look like it was a cordial conversation. But Brandon Marshall, your quote-unquote diva receiver, was how he acted for a small window there on Sunday. And it's not the type of story that you would expect it to be for the New York Jets generally.
To me, I think Brandon needs to be on this team. He is the leader. People look up to him. Other receivers look up to him. No matter how he plays, no matter what he says. I think that his work ethic speaks for itself. And I think that coming up into this offseason, he's a cuttable player, obviously. $7.5 million we save. The point in that is, I think you still need him. No matter...
Yes, on the field.
I think that he decides to take a pay cut next year because of his performance either way this year.
Okay, but...
So I think that going forward, yes, I think Brandon Marshall needs to be there for... If it's Petty, if it's Hackenberg, whoever it might be, I think Brandon is the face of our team no matter how much he's getting paid, no matter how much he's getting the ball. I think anybody looks up to him on the offense side of the ball. To me, Brandon Marshall is important to this team, even though we're not having a good season right now.
But would Brandon Marshall have served the purpose that you're proposing he serve in 2017, already in 2016, to the Robbie Andersons, to the Sharon Peaks, to the Jalen Marshalls? Because where I'm going with it is I don't need that figure out there. I need the ball player out there. I don't need that figure out there for a young quarterback to say, oh man, I haven't thrown it to Brandon in a couple plays. Maybe I should throw him one. I don't need Marshall getting frustrated and being Jeremy Shockey to an Eli Manning. And that was addition by subtraction for the Giants.
But here's a comment just from Brandon. Brandon also said in that interview after the game, saying that yes, he wants the ball every play. He's a receiver. He wants the ball every play. Who doesn't? He wants the ball thrown to him every play. But he knows that him being out there and them having to put more pressure on him gets other receivers opened. He said that in his interview.
Without a doubt.
That the threat of his talent gives the rest of their team a better chance to be open, better chance to win, better chance to succeed. So just that, in fact, yes. You saying that Bryce Petty and Hackenberg might have in their head, oh, I haven't thrown the ball to Marshall in a couple plays. I need to throw it to Marshall. I don't think that he's telling them that. I think that he's saying, you know.
I think it could get to that point.
But I think that we saw how much Brandon has changed, and I don't think that is. I think that he's on the cuff of retirement.
You ever see the way Robbie Anderson looks at Brandon Marshall?
No, I haven't.
Like a proud son looking at his father.
Which it should be.
The aura of Brandon Marshall is what scares me with the young quarterback under center. And that's why I said the player, yes. Do we need the person that he is to the team out there out wide? Or do you need to shift focus and say this is a complete rebuild? This is the new core. These are the guy that needs reps with this young quarterback.
Like we're talking about this, and obviously it's a conversation about the future, right?
Which is so disappointing for where we thought we'd be in the present.
And talking about the receiver of the future and the receiver position is Eric Decker has to come back as well, and Brandon Marshall is on his cuttable season. So is Eric the one to do that? Do you think Eric's the one to do that?
Very,
is that where you want to go?
Very impressive that you took it there, and I'd be more than fine with that. I think Eric Decker could be your Brandon Marshall next year, coming back off of the PUP list and being this year's Devin Smith, because I truly don't – I know he's going to work his tail off. I don't think Eric Decker is going to be ready for week one 2017.
Me neither, but I also want to bring it back to – I don't want to take anything away from Eric. I think Eric's a great receiver.
But he's not Brandon Marshall.
Exactly. And does Eric succeed because of the great talent he has on the opposite side of him both times in his career?
It's been the argument of his whole career.
Yes, exactly. He had Thomas in the other – on the Broncos, and now he had Brandon now. I get it. Is that – do we want to take the chance of keeping him the best receiver on the team?
What chance are you taking?
Keeping Brandon here.
Okay, but what chance are you taking? It's 2017. You're trotting out your young, hopefully potential future quarterback.
Hopefully.
And making strides and growth with reps. What are you risking? Not going 6-10 and going 5-11?
Well, we're risking that we have, another year of full of talented
You're
players.
You're going to have that by going to the situation I just painted for you. You're going to have that regardless. So instead of going 7-9 and feeling real good, we go 5-11. What's the difference? The season would be dedicated to the position and the repetitions that the quarterback position would have received and knowing what you have. Do you need Marshall out there drawing the eye, drawing the attention of your quarterback and not of the defense?
I think because of the talent of this team and where we think we can go, you need Brandon out there. And the reason why you need Brandon out there, just as what he said out of his own mouth, is that if he doesn't get the ball, he is still a threat, and you have to know you can double team him on the other side.
Look how excited this guy was getting, because he did a hell of a job making the officials extra aware of Byron Marshall coming into this game. Look at the emotion he showed when he was getting these flags. Westhoff, who has taken the crown from Ray Lucas, who's still the man, but the best personality, the best face on TV, spitting out truth. I would have threw the ball to Brandon Marshall every play. Every play. You're either going to get a completion or you're going to get a penalty. That's a big play. And he's 100% right. I don't know how we didn't funnel it a little bit more there on Sunday, but the Brandon Marshall you saw on Sunday and what he was helping us when we went his way is what you're painting. I get it. I know.
It's
we're going to get into this Miami game now, and there's so many things. Situational football. This team has no clue how to properly attack a game.
Unbelievable. First quarter. Let's talk about the first quarter. Let's talk
wherever you want to go.
Let's talk about how the two best players on the defense weren't out there.
I don't want to go there yet. We're going to finish with that. I shouldn't have said go wherever you want to go. Honestly, I didn't know you were going to bring it there. It's a little bit down our list. And I want to talk about the penalties. I want to talk about what cost us on Sunday. I want to talk about special teams. All I'm hearing, literally, is Tom Cole, we lost the game on illegal procedure. It's all I'm hearing in my head. You lost the game because you jumped offside, questionably, on a kickoff. On a kickoff. You knew it wasn't going to be a touchback. They backed him up another 5 yards. The leg just kicked one. You knew it was going to be returnable. How do you not cover that kick after your offense gives you the lead? I wanted to see if this defense could hold.
And you know, everything that we're going to talk about in this Miami game, to me, it just all comes back to leadership. It all comes back to leadership for me. We have the talent. We saw what we can do last year. It is all about the bad play at the quarterback position and the bad decision-making from our coaching staff.
Yeah, see, I was just going to say that answers your opening statement, though, for how much we want to dog the position and the play we're getting out of the quarterback position. It's an entire team issue right now.
Exactly. It's like a virus
that falls on the head,
man. It is spreading. It is spreading. It is spreading to our best players. It's not just spreading to like the weakness in the team. It's spreading to our best players. Darrell Revis, Calvin Pryor, Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, Leonard Williams.
But that's part of the undiscipline. You just said Calvin Pryor, and I'm picturing him flicking lint off. You made a beautiful play.
I think that was ridiculous flag.
I agree.
Ridiculous
flag. But let's not even get in that position, please.
No. I get it.
We give away 15 like it's nothing.
But you know, you've played before. You know when you make a good play and your team is just really not good and you want to get up and rile the team up. I get it. And he wasn't taunting. There was no taunting there. It was ridiculous.
It's the league you now play in. It's the league and the things we complain about weekly. You watch a game, you are robbed of the initial emotion of big play, oh, because you got to look for yellow. It's every play. I get it. But it's where we're at as an NFL football society right now. You have to adapt.
No, I totally get it.
And you can't make a play like that early in the game. And you know what? If you're Calvin, you know Mo and Shell are on the sidelines. You know what went on and what's going on. Make that play and look over to the sidelines and point at them, waiting on y'all. Something like that.
Or get up and be like, okay, next play.
There you go. Because you know what? Right now, you got to pick up the slack for your boys.
Yeah, and we got...
You can't afford to give away 15.
And Buster Screen losing his cool. It's unbelievable.
That's Jarvis Landry. But again, great point. Because it's the discipline that a football team is supposed to have instilled in them generally. But know through preparation midweek. That's Jarvis Landry. He is a baby version of Odell Beckham Jr. That is Jarvis Landry.
Great comparison.
It's what he does. They're boys, best friends, LSU. They're the same person. He's another OBJ. You have to know that that's part of their game. I'm not saying put up with it. I'm saying if you got to defend yourself, you got to defend yourself as a man. But you have to know to walk
away
from
certain
stuff. And the guy who retaliates always gets caught.
Damn
right. It's just always us always getting caught is the problem.
Yes.
You got to be mentally tougher than what we show week in and week out as a football team and as an organization on Sundays.
And as much as I want to go on about Todd Bowles not having us mentally tough, it's hard. I don't want to put a lot on him when he's given the keys to the players.
When you say you don't want to put a lot on him, I think you mean you don't want to attack him too strongly right now. Because I want to put it all on him. You're the head football coach.
Definitely. I don't want to attack him hardly, because I think that the players had the opportunity early in the season to come out into the season and show us what they had, and they didn't. And I don't blame that on the coaching. I blame the rest of the season, how it's developed, you know, on the coaching. But early in the season, we had opportunities. We had opportunities against big teams with players that we've seen do it before, and they didn't show up. So, you know, I can't blame the coaching for that. I can't. I cannot.
You see a good friend of the show, Jay, at Jets Fan Media, one of the best handles you can follow out there for Jets news and for raw takes, holding everyone accountable at this point. It's where we're at. You're grown men. For how much I'll rant and rave that you are the head football coach, you still have grown men on payroll. Nobody should have to tell. Let's just go there. One place I want to go before we do, though. Julian Stanford. What a step back this week was. But it's 3rd and 4. You're a yard and a half past the line of scrimmage.
Chasing him.
Number one, the ball's uncatchable. Don't make the play. Number two, just wrap up and make the tackle. That was the end of the game. The season ended. The season ended when Kenyon Drake went over that goal line on that kickoff. But that game ended when Julian Stanford committed that penalty.
Yep.
And
from the start of that play, he was behind him. He was chasing the biggest tight end we've seen.
But it's egregious acts. and plays like that that show that this team has no clue what to do situationally throughout a football game. The timeout by your savvy veteran quarterback when he took it in the situation he took it. It's one other place, please, because this Miami game, bro. I'm sorry. I know we're getting into Mo and Shell. How do you not hand off once in the red zone? Matt Forte is ripping runs of 15, 20, 31 for 6. You don't hand off one time in the end zone?
That would be a Chan Gailey decision right there. And my thing is about that last play that you say about Julian Stafford, that sums up the Jets season right there. You know, he's a third guy out there. We have injury issues. Third guy out there. And we're behind the slowest guy on the offense. You know, it's exactly
on an uncatchable ball, committing a penalty that we don't need to make.
Sums up our whole season right there.
Sums
we're
it up beautiful.
Slow, we're injured, and we're not prepared.
Slow, injured, and not prepared. That is a little bit of everything wrapped in one ball. And now I'm going to bounce past that to you, Sheldon and Mo.
Unbelievable. What is Sheldon? I expect this from because he's had a past. Mo, do not expect this. What is going on? I did not expect Mo. Where his leadership is? Where is his leadership? He's getting paid. He got paid. He's been a humble guy. He's always come to work. He's a lunch pail guy. I don't get it. Where's the Nick Mangold in him?
I dropped to my knee. And I surrender my sword. I did it for Darrell Revis a week or two ago. I can no longer defend the way I defended. And as childish as this may sound, you hear about the birthday cake. You hear about the meeting. What are you missing walkthroughs for? Walkthroughs!
You get paid, man.
Last year, the Giant game, same thing. We all knew what it was. I cannot defend with the Mo's not that guy because I don't know what I'm looking at, what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, what I'm reading, the whole nine. You hope that the cancer that we talked about earlier, the virus, you hope that Sheldon, knowing that he's now the odd man out and the trade rumors that we touched on and feared that this wouldn't ruin the rest of his year, you hope his head and the fact that he doesn't think he's going to be here and he knows he ain't playing for the money that he's due to make next year isn't starting to creep into a Muhammad Wilkerson's personality or a Muhammad Wilkerson's work ethic. I don't see how it does.
He's the older veteran.
Yeah, but forget even the older veteran. They're not that far away in age. Just he was a different type of ball player in my eyes. And if this is a Leonardo DiCaprio to get paid and what he did for two, showing up on time, showing up to OTAs, quiet until this offseason to get the contract. If that was all an act,
hey man, he's good. Bravo. Job. Yeah, good job.
Bravo, because that would be impressive. I don't want to buy that. I don't. I just can't defend it the way I did.
To me, what you just said made me have a vision of just, you know, a complete collapse of talent on this team. Sheldon leaves next year. Mo doesn't turn out to be the player that we thought he was. Then it goes on to Leonard. Leonard doesn't turn into the player we thought he was. And just a collapse of talent on this team, or just a revamp we're going to need again.
Yeah, you want to talk about a collapse of talent? Mangold, I personally hinted at I could see maybe a retirement following in the path of the brick, but Mangold 9. We talked about Marshall 7.5. Harris at 6.5, who is a downright love the man, is a downright liability in coverage right now. Marcus Gilchrist, I don't know what happened this year. You can lump him in with the rest of the secondary of I don't know
the
what
rest
happened
of the
this
team.
Year. Breno Giacomini, just I know he's just coming
headaches,
back,
man.
And this isn't the Breno that we should expect. But this ain't much worse than the Breno I was expecting.
It's easy. Any defensive end on that side, it's easy talent right
there.
It's
going to be a mass overhaul of talent and potentially administration if this goes where it's going right. We are the number 5 selection in the NFL draft as of today. A top 5 pick. We were talking how we could go 10-6, and we had the rosy glasses on, so be it. We talked about this team going 10 and six.
And the schedule says it. The schedule the schedule should say it. With the talent that we have, with the with what we did last year, the schedule says that we should go at least 9 wins.
I don't know. I don't know where you go from here, but I just hope that we don't have to go where we've gone much too often in the last 10, 15 years, and that's the route of a new head coach at the end of the season. Because, like certain people say, my father being the one delivering this line.
The man.
How long the myth, the legend? How long do you wait if you know Bowles isn't the guy? And when do you know Bowles isn't the guy? We're seeing signs of that potentially being a conversation.
You know what my idea is about the whole coaching and firing.
Yeah, you're
is.
Talking 5, 7, 10 years. You just wait.
Exactly.
I don't have that, but I'm with you on the patience.
You cannot
aspect.
Fire a guy after 2 seasons. You cannot. We're going to be stuck in a hole again, and then what? We get another coach in here, we go 10-6. Hooray! We got another good head coach, and then another year, we have a bad year, and then the same thing happens. It's a vortex. It is a cycle. It will go in a cycle.
I said, how many times are we going to listen to the same track?
Exactly. So, exactly. The point is that you have to hold on. You hold on to the train that's injured, and you hopefully fix yourself, and you keep moving forward. That's how it works, man. That's how it should work.
Well, listen, we've been holding on to this season, and not only did I let go, but I turned around and threw it off the cliff when Kenyon Drake went over that goal line. I know we're not mathematically eliminated, but turn out the lights. The party's over.
Yes, yes it is. You got to go home.
There should be a focus on 2017 right now, today, this Sunday. Fitz, we didn't even bring up the knee. Justin Pugh, same injury, out a minimum of 2 to 4 weeks. I got my head coach telling me day to day he'd have to practice on Friday to play, but we'll see where he's at on Friday. Are you kidding
me? Bowles, just give him the starting position. Petty should be there.
Go to the kid. Let's build toward whatever future this may be.
I know Bruce Arians is calling Todd up right now and be like, Todd, let it go. Put him in.
Yeah, I don't think they got time.
Put him in.
Buddy or not, I don't think these guys got time to be
worried
about anybody.
They're both struggling this year.
I don't think they got time to worry about anybody but themselves, though. What do you see us doing against Bruce Arians, NFC West foe, the Los Angeles Rams this Sunday at home?
Again, I look at the LA Rams, and you know we have to compare ourselves to them, but I still see us being a better squad. They have one. Listen, let me tell you something. Last week, right? I know it's funny.
No, it's
last
not,
week,
because you're probably right. But I'm like, who's covering Tavon Austin?
Last week. They have one of the best young running backs in the league. Would you agree?
Absolutely, girl.
They gave him the ball, I think, 12 times. They threw it with Case Keenum 54 times. If they do that, we should whip on them.
Yeah, they're probably going to do that because we can't cover you and me in the slot. And, I mean, Ajayi wound up with, what, 111, one whatever.
We still played well in the run, though.
We stopped the run.
Yeah,
bottom
we stopped
run.
The run. There was a couple times we messed up. But there's no reason why we should lose to a team that's giving the rock, and they went against the Carolina Panthers, who only put up 13 points. It's not like they were playing from behind and they had to throw the ball 54 times. They decided to do that. They decided to give the ball to Case Keenum, who's not their number one overall draft pick, by the way, and throw it 54 times.
Yeah, this game, honestly, should be Jared Goff versus Bryce Petty. You want to say hack, whatever you want to say, whatever.
And they're
traveling
traveling from the furthest point of the West Coast here to come to New York for the first time in a long time. We should kill them at home at 1 o'clock.
You know who's going to be on that plane? Aaron Donald. He'll be on
Pittsburgh,
that plane with them.
Pennsylvania guy.
Robert Quinn will be on that plane with them, so they're going to be bringing a little something with them.
You know what?
I have zero interest in breaking down the game. I'm going to give you a score or a win or something. I don't care. You can keep going.
I just want to say that I've been the most impressed player I've been impressed with. Sorry, I said that twice. Has been Brian Winters. I think Brian Winters did a hell of a job last week against Sue, even though that late in the game, Sue started to get his
momentum. Had his hiccups late, but you're playing
but
against
he's been playing
Sue.
The best, man. And, you know, somebody that we hated on for like 2 years, the Idzik pick, we
Well, he's going to get another test this week.
Yes,
Aaron
he
Donald
is a monster.
As good as they come.
And, you know, that's the position all Jet fans should be looking at this week. Don't look at any position. Look at Aaron Donald versus Brian Winters.
That's the position that we should be looking at every week, because that's where our boy Sheldon is supposed to be playing. And Sheldon would be doing the same thing Aaron Donald would be doing if Sheldon was in L.A. It's miscast.
Maybe he's in L.A. next year. We'll see.
It's miscast talent. It's a misfit crew right now, and it's a mess, but it's got to get cleaned up.
That's great. We're a misfit toys, man.
We are. We're the island of mid. And we just look over, and we look at the Giants, and you got our boy Snacks rallying them at halftime and blowing up fourth
downs. Landon Collins becoming the best safety in the league.
And we're just over here, little brothers, pissed off.
Again.
What else is
still
new?
Sharing the stadium.
Win, lose, or draw. What do you got Sunday?
I gotta say a win, man. I gotta say a
but
win.
You gotta have faith.
My score would be 17-13, because I don't think LA can really put up points. They're putting up one touchdown.
Lose 27-13.
They're putting up 27 points?
Oh, no. Fitz is gonna aid them in that. I believe an injured Ryan Fitzpatrick will be out there. And I believe he will be potentially the most valuable player the Los Angeles Rams field on Sunday.
This is what I hope for. I hope that Fitzpatrick decides that he's too old to practice on Friday and they have to automatically go to Petty. You go to Petty and we're ready to win this game. 17-13.
I love you. I do. I love you. I want to ask you something before we sign off here on another week. Our producer reaches out to me when Petty comes in. He's more worried about the health of Fitzpatrick right now than he is about performing. And really, thank you for the eye roll. That's how I felt. But you know that's G. He always looking for the Hollywood aspect of this. How about Fitzpatrick goes, you know what? I'm going to take a step back.
That would be the best leadership decision ever.
And why I'm going there. I'm cashing my paycheck regardless. While I'm here, the relationship that I've built with this kid, let me help him as much as I can for these last 2 months, and let me take a step back now. I don't think this knee is ready to go on
Sunday.
And
I think the way he does that is tell his team he does that, not in a press conference. He rallies his team. He says, listen, guys.
I ain't getting it done.
I'm not getting it done. And I think that I've been in this league too long, and this young kid right here has talent, and I think we should rally behind him and put him out there.
Point at the knee. Here's your out. This is what we sell in the papers. I'm taking a step down type of mentality. And I love that you said it'd be the best leadership thing he could do for this team, because I truly think it would be, as outlandish as it sounds.
And if we're mathematically out of it, I think that if he did that, there's a possibility that we win some games.
I like it. That's going to do it for another week here on the NYJ Couch Scouts podcast. Guys, keep tuning in. Keep downloaded. We ain't going nowhere. We're going to be bringing you the draft coverage. We'll have the offseason tackled like we did a year ago. It's what I personally live for, what I look forward to, and what I got to sell to you at this point. Because what else is going on for right now, right?
Nothing.
Want to thank you for downloading another week. You can find us on Apple, iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and again, anywhere else you can find podcasts or you get your podcasts.
Hey, Jeff fans, give us a follow on Twitter at NYJ Couch Scouts. Leave us your questions and your comments, and look out for future prizes and giveaways.
Want to give the big shout out, as usual, to our co-founder and our producer, Giovanni Garcia and David Schwendeman. And one more big shout out to you guys. Keep downloading. One hand washes the other over here. We look forward to doing this weekly. Let's get one, can we? But should we?
Catch us next week, Jeff fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast. Audio of the free. Hey!